Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Stranglers, it's Bree.
Hey, it's Kylie.
What's up?
Welcome to our show. What I was going to talk to you about? Radio Rental.
It's back by now.
Okay, if you guys don't... Bree, do you want to tell our listeners what Radio Rental is? Because I feel like you'll give a better description.
Radio Rental. I was introduced to it by my friends Georgia and Karen from My Favorite Murder. And what it is it's people telling their weirdest thing that's ever happened to them in their own words. Just them. Not like an interview. They're just telling their story. And the person who introduces these stories to you is a character called Terry Carnation. And he's quite a goof. And it's actually Rainn Wilson, who you might know as Dwight Schrute from The Office. And... Terry Carnation is the manager of a video rental shop, like Blockbuster. And in the back room in his office, manager's office or whatever, he has this radio show with, you know, a bunch of people who have sent him their spooky, weird stories that are true that have happened to them. And there's lots of weird stories, and I don't know, they'll give you chills. Listen in the daylight.
I love them. At first, I was a little apprehensive. I was like, okay, like, whatever, Radio Rental. Because usually I don't like listening to people telling their own stories because usually they fucking suck at it. But no, these people would tell really good stories. And I don't know. It's just really good. I highly recommend if you ever get, like, want to listen to a podcast that's not true crime, just not ghost stories, and it, like, keeps your interest and it's, like, kind of quicker, I would suggest listening to him.
Yeah, for sure.
That's my spiel on it. Oh, can I tell you about something real quick? I started a new book series.
Okay.
I know at least one of our listeners listens to this because she commented on my personal Instagram. A Court of Thorns and Roses, is what the series is called. And I got introduced to it because we all know I was reading Ice Planet Barbarians, which was like... It's a spice. Ice Planet Barbarian, there are spicy books. There's like a spice level. There's spicy where there's like kissing, you know, like teenage spice. And then there's full on five chili pepper spice level where it's just like sex is the theme. Like that's erotica books. Those are like real spicy books, right? And then there's this middle area where it's like sex isn't the theme, but there is like... There's tension. There's romantic tension. There's, you know, just like you're like, oh my God, are they going to hook up? Are they going to date? Like what's happening? I would say the spice level of this is like a 2 or 3. There's definitely some spicy situations, but it's more of like that romantic tension. And it's fantasy because we all know I'm like delving into the fantasy world. It's a fae. It's about fairies. It's about the high fae. And there are beasts. There's something called a surreal. There is like... High lords. There's humans in it. It's like has a little bit of everything, and it's about a girl by the name of Feyre who is a human, and she kills a high fae. She kills a fairy. Because of that, there's a treaty that says that she now must be either taken a life for a life, or she has to go over into the fairy kingdom over the wall and basically live her life as a human in the fairy world. And what ensues is drama, a little bit of like comedy, a little bit of romance. It's just really freaking good. Technically, it's young adult, but the majority of the readers that I'm finding on TikTok, because a lot of my TikTok is like me finding new book series to read or listen to, a lot of the listeners and readers of this book are like late 20s to like late 30s. They're even starting a TV show on Hulu about it.
Nice.
I'm just very excited about it, you guys. One of the books I listened to is 25 hours long.
So what? Holy shit.
One of the books was 25
hours long. Okay, so, but have you finished all the Ice Planet Barbarians?
I stopped at book 17. There's too much alien dick. It was the spur.
I mean, at a certain point, it's enough.
It's enough. It was enough. It was just enough. So yeah, now we're on to fairies, and the storyline is great. I really enjoy it. If you're like, I don't get into fantasy, like whatever, like it's not going to be good. Just like try it out. It's the gateway drug. It is the gateway drug of fantasy books. And it may be young adult, but it's not like teeny bopper. You know what I mean? Like, I've read the Vampire Diaries, and the books in the Vampire Diaries, they're young. Like, they're really young. They're in high school. However, the themes are very adult. And then when they casted the books into TV, they aged the actors up to where they were in their 30s. And that was a lot more realistic for the themes that they were dealing with. I feel like they need to do the same thing for this. They need to age the characters up on the TV show. And my man, Cassian, in this book, he has the facial description, like tan skin, Jason Momoa's skin tone with Henry Cavill's good looks, but Jason Momoa's everything else. And wings and tattoos everywhere.
Okay. Like a tribal fairy. Listen,
when I tell you, that's my man. Cassian's my man. Yeah. They're really good. Highly recommend. Court of Thorns and Roses. Read them. Tell me how you think about them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Book Rex by Kylie. should we do housekeeping and then get into our episode?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Okay.
I can do it. Hi, Stranglers. It's your local strangler here. My name is Kylie, and I am here to tell you to follow us on Facebook at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast, Instagram at Perfect_Stranglers, and Twitter, Perf Stranglers. And please, please, you want to know what really helps us on social media is when you just like, if you just like look at one of our posts, like that's fine. But if you like it, comment it, if you hit that save button or share it, all like saving and sharing helps other people see our stuff so much more. So like, you know, save our posts, share them on your page and like tag us. We would love if you did that because that really helps more people know about our little podcast here. And yeah, we would just love to see it. Also, subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen to us. Give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts because that helps us out as well. And feel free to shoot us an email, contact@perfectstranglers.com, and send us all of your weird stories. And that's housekeeping. Brie, back to you.
All right. Well, today what I have for you is something that we talked about a few episodes ago. The Comedy Store, we briefly mentioned it because of my brush with fame on Facebook.
Did we talk about that? Is that in the reincarnation episode coming up? Or whatever.
Were we just talking about that, or was that actually in an episode? I thought, was it in the ghosts episode?
Maybe. Quick recap. Quick recap. Brie talked to Pauly Shore.
Yeah. So, yeah, I tagged him in a post and I said I was in a mood to watch a Pauly Shore movie and tagged him. And he told me that I should watch Encino Man. So that was cool.
Oh, yes, because we talked about Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Yeah, so we must have talked about, like, what our favorite Pauly Shore movies are. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. We did.
Well, anyhow, Pauly Shore's family owns the Comedy Store. His mom, Mitzi Shore, was, you know, owned it. She ran the place, you know. Little known fact about me, though, I actually really like stand-up comedy. I have for a while. I used to watch...
So who's your faves?
Well, I like Jim Gaffigan and Mitch Hedberg. God rest his soul, and Tom Papa. So if you go onto, I think it's on Paramount Plus app, they have all the old, like, Friday Night Stand-Up episodes from Comedy Central.
Oh, really?
Yeah, whole seasons of them.
Wow.
So.
That's crazy. All right.
Yeah. All right. For sure. So, the Comedy Store, right? It is located on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. And before it was the Comedy Store, it was called Ciro's Nightclub. And that was in, like, the 40s and 50s. And it was a club that was owned by Bugsy Siegel, who was a prominent mob member. And it closed in 1957. So a lot of business went on in this club. A lot of mob business went on. People were whacked in this club. There's allegedly bodies buried in cement in the basement. There was just a lot of bad things going on. But there was a lot of I don't want to say like good things going on, but like there was a lot of like it was kind of like a jump in place. Like Lucille Ball and Betty Davis used to like hang out here. At Ciro's Nightclub and all that. So comedians on stage have felt presences. A comedian named Jay Moore, who the name didn't ring a bell with me, but his face looks very familiar. He's best known for being in Jerry Maguire. I'm sure you've probably seen him in movies. So he was on a stage one night doing his act, and he noticed that the audience was not laughing. They, in fact, were not making any noise, and they were frozen still. And he just, like, felt a presence, and he stared out into the crowd, and he just felt like he was, like, the only one who could move in this, like, state of suspended animation. And he yelled, "Go away, ghost." And then all of a sudden, the crowd just went wild, cheering and laughing and just springing back into motion. My source for this was actually Ghost Adventures. Your boy Zach was interviewing him about this.
Yeah. Okay, I love that episode, first off, because I was wondering if you're going to mention our Zachy B. What year did that happen? Because I suppose there's no, like, video footage of it.
I really don't know. He didn't say when this happened, but I mean, there's tons of stories, and I'm sure that they spanned from, like, you know, the 70s. It turned into the Comedy Store in 1972.
Okay.
So from the 70s till, you know, currently, there's been ghost sightings.
Okay.
Ouch. Jay Moore also tells that Sam Kinison, who we talked about in a different episode, that's the one where he got in, like, a car accident, and he was, like, speaking with someone before he died and, like, trying to bargain with them or whatever. So yeah. That guy, Sam Kinison, he was allegedly picked up off the ground, like, levitating above the ground. Somebody, I forget the guy's name, his best friend, saw him. It was upstairs in an area called the Belly Room, which tons of people have had, experiences in. All right, so this upstairs area called the Belly Room, apparently it has a rather dark past. It was the office of Bugsy Siegel's mob enforcer named Mickey Cohen. He was a pretty violent man who was known for being ruthless. There was a hole in the side of the wall going upstairs to his office, and he would have people called up to his office, and he would just shoot the person as they're walking upstairs.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Just didn't want to deal with them or whatever.
That's uncomfy.
Yeah. And in the basement, where they say that there's the bodies buried in cement or whatever, the mob apparently hired a doctor named Ellen to do back alley abortions, and she once did one on a showgirl that one of the mob members was dating, and this woman died, and Ellen was actually killed for it.
Oh my god. I kind of remember that. Now you're bringing back the Ghost Adventures episode for me.
Yeah. So there were lots of mob-related murders. And so in this episode that I watched of Ghost Adventures, Zach used a communication device with like a little screen. It's almost like ghosts can text you. And so he went in the basement with this, and the words that showed up were baby and beg. So they were pretty chilled about that.
Creepy.
So it was also featured on Unsolved Mysteries back in 1996.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's this waitress that used to work there, and she has actually compiled a book of a bunch of people, or coworkers and people that have worked there, of all of their experiences with ghosts. So she tells a story. Once she was setting up the showroom, and she was, you know, they're putting tablecloths and ashtrays and candles on the tables. So her and one of her coworkers is setting this up. They go into the hallway to go get more chairs or more something, more supplies. And they come back, and all of the candles and ashtrays and tablecloths that they had put on were all, like, folded up, stacked up, like, put back.
No.
So not only is that creepy, but it's also, like, super annoying that you have to do that work twice. Like,
right.
Just making it really harder annoying. For you.
Yeah, that's really annoying. Like, if you're going to haunt me, don't make busy work.
Right, help me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to haunt.
Haunt me, but help me. You know what I mean? Like, help, haunt me, but help me. And if you're going to haunt me, help me by haunting someone that I don't like so that you can make their life a living hell. Or, like, fill my water bottle for me when it's empty. Remind me if I forget to blow out a candle. That type of thing, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. If you were to haunt someone, would you rather come back and haunt someone? I'm not saying the word haunt as in negative or positive, just neutral. Would you rather come back and haunt someone that you enjoyed and be helpful to them, or taunt someone that you hated? Because I would rather come back and taunt someone that I hated.
I'd rather do both.
You only can do one, Brie.
Man,
I would rather just, like, I feel like the person who need, like, I could be nice. I would get far more enjoyment out of watching someone by the name of, you're gonna, if you could add a bleep into this, like, beep, that would be great, by someone by the name of, if I could make his life a living hell and just, like, tie his shoes together, pour water in his underwear drawer, maybe trip him down the steps, I would be so happy.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. The only thing is like, okay, what if that person dies young and then you can't haunt them anymore? Or what if the person that you are being helpful to, maybe you could help prolong their life in some way?
And maybe. You could keep them. I feel like I would just be a vigilante haunter and just, like, find the people who are dicks and. Yeah. A vigilante superhero ghost.
That's an idea for a book.
Stop it. Okay.
I had an idea for a book
going with this
at that music festival that I was at, because it was completely surrounded by cornfields. I was like, what if there was a serial killer who, like, came out of the corn or something and just, like, picked off, like, hippies at the music festival, and, like, nobody knew where their friend was or whatever, which happens a lot at music festivals, and the music was loud and you couldn't hear the screams, and your friend was missing, but but you weren't worried about it at first because you thought they just, like, you know, found new friends and were talking and vibing, mm-hmm. or, like, they, like, took a nap under a tree somewhere or something.
Yeah. There was actually that just, like, triggered a memory for me, and I don't feel like we talked about this case, but I think I watched courtroom TV. I think I watched the trial on it, if it gives you any insight into how exciting my life is. There was a giant house party that happened in Michigan in a cornfield, and this guy owned the house, and he was, like, kind of a bigger, tough guy looking guy, someone you would look at and expect to be bad news. But I don't think he did this, but he had this house party, and a young girl went missing, and her friends saw her kind of stumbling away going with a guy, not this guy, but with another guy, and they're like, oh, whatever, she'll make it back in time. Well, they tried to find her before they left home for the night. They couldn't find her, and they're like, oh, whatever, she'll make it home. And they left, and this girl ended up going missing, and, like, her clothing, it was a Halloween party, actually, and one of her parts of her costume was found, like, miles away. Then another part of her costume was found, and eventually her body was found. I don't remember where this is from at all. I must have been watching it on one of the ID channel shows, but that reminded me of it because that exact same thing happened.
Her name
was
like Chelsea something.
Was that?
Her name was Chelsea something. And they told the guy, they told the guy, they, like, brought him in for questioning, and they told him that, like, she had, like, brittle bone disease or something like that.
Yes.
And to, like, get him to, like, confess, like, to, like, saying that he accidentally, like, broke her, like, neck or something like that because she had brittle bones, just to, like, get him to confess to, like, saying that he, like, hurt her or something like that. I remember that.
Yeah, what is that? What show was that?
It could have been something on Discovery Plus, or it could have been from this YouTube thing that I watch, called That Chapter, with this guy who I'm pretty sure is from Ireland, and he just has the coolest accent, and I just want to listen to him all day.
Okay.
He's pretty funny.
I don't know if I've heard of that, but okay. Wow. We just migrated far away from topic, but I'm glad you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a huge, like, field, like, farm field party for, like, a Halloween, like, Halloween dress-up party bonfire thing.
Yes, that they have, like, every year, and it's just, like, this giant, like, citywide thing that this guy has in his farm.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, back to the Comedy Store.
Yeah, back to the Comedy Store in LA. All right. So there's a doorman, right? Name is Joey Gaynor. He was once cleaning up for the night. He blew out two candles, turned around, and they were lit again. So he went back, blew them out again, thinking he must have not have fully extinguished them the first time. So he blows them out again, starts going down the stairs, and all of a sudden it got just freezing in there. He turns around, candles are lit again. And he was just like, okay, fine, stay lit. He said it out loud and just got the heck out of there. Didn't want to stick around.
See, you want a ghost that's going to tell you that your candles are still lit to blow them out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good joke, I guess. I don't know if there's any comedian ghosts in there, but
probably.
The ghosts were pretty playful and mischievous with Joey the doorman. Another night he was closing up and went to go turn off the lights in different areas of the building. It's just some switches that take a couple of seconds to switch off. And in that few seconds that he was turning lights off, with his back turned, a whole bunch of chairs were stacked up into one big pile in the middle of the room. He never heard anything. He never saw any of it happening, anything like that.
That is serious poltergeist activity.
Yeah. Really
that is,
weird.
That is a poltergeist. And you know what? Poltergeist activity is often brought on by the energy of someone. Like, you create your own poltergeist activity. I bet there was so much energy in that. Because laughter, we talked about this in the ghosts episode. Laughter, a good time, can create just as much energy as a bad time. You know?
Yeah.
I bet a lot of that energy mixed with the energy and maybe the nerves of comedians, stuff like that, can mm-hmm. create this poltergeist activity.
Yeah. I saw there are actually like Good Times imprints in the Comedy Store as well. There's this comedian, I think his name is Joey Diaz, and he was on a podcast with...
Was it Tom Segura or Joe Rogan?
No. It was a podcast that had Bobby Lee on it. Lee, he's actually, I don't know if you watch Reservation Dogs, but he's the, like, the doctor at the medical center on the reservation. I'm sure you've seen him in other stuff.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. So it was... them too, and he also has his own experiences at the Comedy Store as well, but they were talking about how there was this comedian lady, Princess something, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but she got kind of messed up and was like, I'm just gonna, like, you know, it's closed. I'm going to stay here for like an hour or two and just like take a nap in a booth and just like sleep it off before I like go home or whatever. So she woke up to hearing like a live band playing, like old music. And she woke up and she saw like on the stage a whole bunch of people just like dancing and just having a good old time. And she ended up like calling the police, and they came and they searched the building and found nobody, and just really weird.
Oh my God, how creepy.
Yeah. There's also in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, there was a guy named Mike Becker who was the, his title was vice president of the Comedy Store. I don't know if he is now, but he was in 1996. But in broad daylight, he saw a guy in like a tweed suit, like a 40s style jacket, walk into his office. And he said that he always, whenever he would see a whole apparition, it would always be somebody in like a 40s type outfit. The ghost that they see most often, this I'm pretty sure it's the same ghost that he saw. He's known as Gus, and he's like wearing a hat and a jacket. And he was allegedly somehow affiliated with the mob or something like that. But yeah. I don't know if anyone can really prove that, but that's what they say. So, yeah, whatever spirits are there, their imprint has been there for a really long time, since the 40s, which that was, like, the golden era of Hollywood then, too, in the 40s. So, Hollywood's a lot different now, that's for sure.
Very different. Yep.
I initially, when I was researching this, I mean, that's just scratching the surface of all the... you know, paranormal activity that has been experienced there. But initially when I started doing this, I was inspired by by Pauly Shore answering me on Facebook. And I was going to ask him or just see if I could find it somewhere where he had an interview or something to see what his experiences might have been. Because I'm positive he spent his childhood there, probably. Like, he's probably spent a lot of time in the Comedy Store. And I found a podcast that he was on where people ask him about that, and he said that he has never seen or experienced or felt anything at all in the Comedy Store, which I found to be surprising and boring.
That I wonder if that's true, or he just doesn't want to talk about it, so that's his blanket answer.
That could be.
Yeah. You know? Because I could see that getting old. Like, This podcast, I pimp it out like the rent is due tonight, but I get sick of talking about it. Like when I went to my work outing, one person found out I did this, and then that's all I talked about for 3 days, and it gets very annoying. I could not imagine that happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe that's why.
It could be. It could be. You know, like the bands who hate playing their number one hit song because they hate that song.
Yeah.
When everyone, yeah. All their fans love it.
Yeah. Did you know Beyonce hates Bootylicious?
Really?
She hates singing that song.
I'm kind of sick of it too. I was sad that the guy from Radiohead hates the song Creep, but he does.
Have you ever heard, there is a guy that was on The Voice, and his name was Vincent, and he sang a cover of Creep, and it is the best cover of Creep I have ever heard in my entire existence. It is just, his name is Vincent. If you type in Vincent, The Voice, Creep, and listen to, it's on Spotify, or watch his rendition of it. It is stunning.
It's not that guy that you sent us the TikTok of, with the blonde guy with the beard and the long hair with a very crisp, clear voice?
Nope, that's a different guy. This Vincent guy is a very tall, he looks to be very tall, very skinny, and I think I'm in love with him. His voice just, I would let him sing me to sleep. His voice is just so beautiful.
Nice, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all I have for you today.
All right. You know what that reminded me of?
I heard
the Comedy Store is like, ha ha, funny, funny.
Right.
Death. It reminded me of the Viper Room. Have you heard of the Viper Room where River Phoenix was?
Yes.
Died in front of it, and like Johnny Depp has a connection. I feel like that would be the dark side of this.
Yeah.
Episode would be the Viper Room. Maybe we have to do an episode on the Viper Room here in a little bit.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Hollywood's a town with a lot of history and a lot of ghosts everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, or you know, Brie, when you do the Manson family, that could be like a two-parter, Manson family, and then we do the hauntings as the next episode after the Manson family. We could do Sharon Tate hauntings up on Hollywood Hills.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a house down the street from the area where the Cielo Drive house was, and it's owned by a man named David Oman, and his house is haunted, and he's, you know, basically a neighboring property to that, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Zach Bagans actually went to, you know what, he did, in fact, because they are in a quarrel.
Oh
yeah.
What happened? Wait, dish the tea.
David Oman doesn't like Zach Bagans. I can't remember why. He like misrepresented something about him or his house or his property or haunting or something like that. I can't remember what it was because it was so long ago. I mean, I bet it was over 5 years ago when all this, mm-hmm. when they did the investigating and stuff there, and he had this beef or whatever. I was like watching it unfold on Facebook because I actually added David Oman on Facebook, and I was seeing he was like going live and stuff.
Oh my God, the tea is hot over here.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I know Zach Bagans, the whole team, they went to Holly Madison's house. Zach used to date Holly Madison, who was on that show on E! The Playboys, whatever. Playboy
Girls
Bunny
Next Door.
Show, whatever that was. And her house is in the Hollywood Hills, very close to where all of that happened. And her house is fucking weird, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. Possibly need a follow-up to Hollywood Hauntings.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we have for you today, guys, and we will catch you next Thursday.
Yeah, bye, everyone.
Bye, Stranglers.